Do il benvenuto a Jurij Kaplan da Lubiana. Quest'anno è stato presidente della giuria di Share Prize e è uno dei keynote che parlerà proprio del diritto al fallimento, di istituzionalizzare il fallimento nei progetti artistici. Grazie a Jurij, ti do subito la parola. Si possono abbassare un pochettino le luci?
Well, hello to everybody. First, I would like to thank you for the invitation, for both, for having me in jury and for inviting me to having a lecture. When I was thinking about the topic of the festival and in relation of what we are doing in our gallery in everyday production, I actually discovered that whatever we are doing, it's somehow connected to mistakes, to failure, to something that is threatening us. Of not working and so on. And when I was starting to think how to open the lecture, it came in my mind. One movie came to my mind, and I would like to show you. It's 2.5 minutes. It's one of the entrance of the entrance scene for the mythical movie. Brazil, it's genius. I think it's the right thing to start and to ease a little bit because since I saw it again, I keep laughing all the time. And let's start to ease the atmosphere a little bit.
Was better than his work. He did it all and infinitely more. And to chime it in, he did not die. He became a second. He became a good friend in the good old world. And so, as Tiny Tim observed, God bless us, everyone.
We don't make mistakes. Well, and it's the whole movie, it's about mistakes, machines, and love, of course. Well, I structured my presentation around the fact that since the beginning, we as a gallery were interested for investigation in different art practices, in different art expressions. We were completely not affected by the traditional kind of works. We know the guy here. We learned a lot from Stelarc. There is one a little bit with more hair. By challenging our audience, we also managed to open different perspectives on what art might be, art expression might be, how can we explain the contemporary, what is going on in contemporary arts, and we were since the beginning in a process of researching, investigating, testing, trying to discover what is the borderline of the art expression. We somehow managed to communicate to the art community that the level of art practice that we are interested for, it's something that it's related to reality, to everyday life, to the poetics of what is surrounding us, but enhance it and use actually the gallery platform to enhance what is all around us. We've done a lot of different things, and some of them were on the border of being legal. Some of them were way over legality. So what happened in first 5-6 years? Now the Kapelica Gallery is 15 years old, and what happened at the beginning was that, okay, we were enthusiastic and we were following not only the artists which were at our gallery, but also what is behind the scene on the backstage and so, and we discovered somehow that several times that the whole process of preparing an art event, it's much more interesting than the art event itself, or of not being misunderstood. By being there while preparing an art event, we've learned about the metaphysical interest of the artist himself or herself. We learn the techniques they are using. We learn the standards, because there were no books at the time, and we had no opportunity to know academic facilities where we could learn what is what would be the historical background, or what how actually in what pace the contemporary art is developing. So while doing this kind of complex, very complex art setups, we decided to focus on that kind of art production which is processual and which somehow allows the audience entering. Well, it means that we couldn't simply transplant an existing... This is not me. It's only timer. Of just bringing an art piece from one place to another, but we invite the artist and we were working together, and we try to do each time a different setup, use different ingredients and so on. Sometimes I have to admit we failed, and it was quite frustrating for us. However, being there, being all the time involved in the art production, we learn how to defend the failures, because the audience is not stupid. You know, they want answers, because if something goes wrong, we didn't develop at the time excuse, well, which is not an excuse, because we build the whole program philosophy around this right to fail. You know, okay, what this right to fail is supposed to be? And as I said, while being all the time there, we could explain to everybody what happened, what was meant to be, why it didn't happen. So our audience start to learn what is this all about and what they need to look at. No? Because very often, you know, they were looking at the piece and says, I don't like it. It's not beautiful. I do not enjoy in your exhibition, and so on. But in these 15 years, with a lot of difficulties, of course, we managed somehow to draw out and put the focus on development and of the process, because this is also one thing that when we are working with big artists whose opus is developed, it's easy because they have a lot of works to show. But while we are working with our local artists with bizarre funding, we are forced to produce them in sequences. So we committed as a gallery, we said, okay, let's do first a small project, then we will be the next step, and next step, and next step. Don't be frustrated by showing the first developments of your work, because we will invest in a bigger format. Well, this concept of right to fail, it's something that we learn from that concept, that actually an artwork could have an open structure. We had philosophical discourses which are enabling us to think the open structures, and we just needed to modifying them, adapt it to the processual art production. So by showing the pieces which are on the way to the to become an art piece, we also developed one level which we are calling that the artwork is having, or the work that we are seeing is having, a tactical value. It might develop into an artwork, but it might not. So the difference from other galleries is that we at our gallery, we are actually investing into a proposal which is so unique that we don't have a preferences. We can't be sure whether this will develop in next stage or not. So very often you can come to the gallery, you see the setup, we didn't make any mistake, there is a vernissage and everything, but we keep suffering and trying to keep it alive all the time. The setup is there, and of course we are trying to foresee what can the next level become. Well, learning in this process of learning, we started to treat the gallery not as a privileged artistic space, but as something what is there and what is actually practical to use, because it's there and we are actually asked to run the place. The gallery itself as an institution does not give any excuse for anything that it's an artwork. So several times we did some performances or also some installations which were announced as not artistic at all. However, the authors that did the work were using the structure of an artwork. So there was a festival dealing with body politics, and we were showing one piece of a photographer who is working with SM, with people practicing SM, invited the couple to do the their seance in the gallery. The seance of an SM act, it is having a theatrical structure. It has a beginning, an intro, and then they develop the whole body, and there is a cathartic ending. And it was like a performance. It was like a theater piece, but it was not a theater piece. But just by putting it there, you know, we were challenging all other theater and performance pieces we had at the gallery. You know, it was really, really powerful. It was as painful for the audience, almost as painful for the audience as for the practitioners themselves. Well, now, when we are doing special projects, we turn the gallery into something else. We are trying to adopt the gallery. If, for example, here we see the slide where the Symbiotica group from Australia actually grow 1/4 of size of Stellar's arm, ear on the arm. It was the first test. It was the first time that Symbiotica used human cells. We see here is a bioreactor spinning around the cartridge, cells around the cartridge. There was a camera inside showing it what is actually going on and how the cells are growing around the cartridge. But what it's not seen, it's all the background, because there was a sterile booth and all the laboratory needs that was necessary to develop the project. Here we see a piece of Marta de Menezes, and where she said the laboratory where she was manipulated a butterfly larva in the way that when they grow, the pattern on their wings were different. So, you know, the whole project was about painting on butterfly wings, very poetical one, but the whole procedure in the laboratory was for a lot of people really disturbing, because Marta needed to pinch the larva with special needles and actually provoking scars on the future butterfly wings. There is something completely different. It's a project where artists went to the scrapyard of computers, and he took some computers and built a beggar from it. And it was actually the computer, well, this robot beggar was actually begging at the street. But what was interesting was that we, or actually the artist with our help, entered the beggar community in Ljubljana, which teach us that they are not allowed to beg in shopping malls, that it's very difficult to beg during the winter time or during the summer time and so on. And actually he developed a robot which is costless because it's from the scrapyard, and it's begging from for them. So it can be installed in shopping mall, and we did install it in shopping mall, and he raised a lot of money, you know, much more than the beggar themselves. You know. But it was the whole social process which was around and where the audience was invited to participate as well. Now I would like to show three projects and try to explain how actually how we are trying to institutionalized learning and trials and errors and hands-on hacking and other procedures, which are all somehow dealing with dismantling existing interfaces, and how we develop the whole discourse out of being constantly surrounded by the threat of mistakes and the threat of failure and so on. This is an oeuvre of Polona Tratnik, who is interested since the beginning. She was interested into anthropomorphic sculpturing. And when I met her, I went to her atelier, to her studio, and she showed me several body parts put together in different ways and so on. I said, well, well, they were from the plaster, not the real one. No? Yes. And my observation was, well, if you are interested in body, no, why you are not using the material which is a body material? No? So use the real thing. And after a while, she produced the first project where she grew human cells on a mold in different incubators, which were at the time really funny and not accurate. But she showed already her ambition and definition of the problem she's interesting at. This project is showing the colonies of different microorganisms, which are actually living on human beings. She was growing them on the bedroom furniture, and this was a very easy way to learn how to treat a live environment, because you need to provide a special condition that this live material, which is really fragile and delicate, is needing. In that project, she went a little bit further, and it was half performative, half exhibition. What we see here is a big glass box with petri dishes in, with agar in, and she actually accept the audience one by one. She took the samples from their eyes, mouth, wherever, also from other intimate places, and then she grew them on these petri dishes by in a way portraying them, so they were able to see what usually they don't see. By gaining all this expertise, she went even a step further, and while she has on her way, which I really don't understand very well, but she has a certain metaphysical interest to the hair, her hair, and she was starting to work on it, on that issue. First, she did one smaller piece, which dealt with the fact that there could be a possible way to grow hair in vitro. What was, since the beginning, the scientists said it's not possible, so this is just an arty-farty project having nothing to do with the science. Well, after a while, being constantly present and pressing on them, they actually started a project together, growing hair in vitro. So they applied, they got funds, they got European funds, they got local funds, and so on. And this is something what I see as a case scenario for this cross-practicing of artists and scientists, where that they are developing a project where both are having clear interest of it, you know, that because very often we have artists that are just using the scientists' expertise for what they are doing. And on the other side, we are having a lot of scientists using so-called artworks to decorate or to publish their scientific work. So we usually see, you know, very well painted representations of nanotechnology or certain space technologies and so on, and the scientists are calling that artworks. So in this vortex of misunderstanding, I found this project like a case, a project to explain how actually an artist can work together with a scientist and can develop a special understanding of a phenomena, which is for the scientist understood as a linear process, but on the other side for the artist as something holistic, which is having a bigger impact on a society as such. There is another big project, for example, of Marco Pelhan, and in this phase I was also involved in the project because actually I designed the structure, so somehow I took the liberty to use it as a case. He actually, at the time, we built together this completely autarctic booth where the artist could live inside. At the beginning, the structure was meant as a stage, and I designed the whole supporting structure as an open stage. But in the middle, in the process of developing it, because after the first sketches, we had a pause of 2 years, I guess, and then he was invited to Castles Documenta, and they were willing to invest a small amount of money, so we proceed. But everything went so fast that we had no time to change the construction while the concept of the artwork changed. So from the architectural point of view, this is a monument of a mistake, because you'll see in this from the back side, the supporting structure actually enters the booth, and you can imagine that there is no joint that could not leak, could not be made without leaking inside. Now, so this macrolep is leaking all the time, but of course it's an art project, and we were willing to take the risk. It's a 10-year project, which was conceived, well, the first time was shown on 1997, and it was meant to provide an situations where the artist and scientist can work in isolation, and this conditions were very similar to the conditions which are usually on the space stations or in the submarines or in very, very radical environments. Since the beginning, it was meant to conclude its journey and on the North Pole, and this is an artist's rendering how he imagined it at the beginning, well, after the second phase. But what happened? Because the whole project, these 10 years of working on it, brings together so many experts that in one moment artists decide that the project is having too much artist sign. You know, so see, he somehow withdraw from the project, and he made an open call, international open call, for the third phase of macrolab, which will be installed in the North Pole. And last year they made this call. There are several proposals. Somehow the initiative is so big, you know, that the consortium had to be had to leave any kind of artistic and also scientific background. It became something something extra. Marco is having also another interesting story behind. Our government decided 2 years ago that it will establish a so-called centers of excellence, and to foster the development of technologies and so on. And Marco actually gave the initiative to one center of excellence, which is which got the commission of 10 million euros. It is a consortium of scientists and one artist, which is actually the Spiritus Movens. However, the situation, overall situation, is such that they are hiding the artist inside, you know, because if the science community would know who is actually the one who gave the trigger, you know, they will think, oh, this must be something not serious, you know? However, I was 2 weeks ago, I was in the parliament where the consortium had the presentation, and it was quite successful. However, they didn't mention the artist involved. There is another project which is, again, speaking about the process, speaking about having in mind different stages of development. You know, it's the project of Dragan Živodino, Dunja Zupančić, and Miha Turšić, which are metaphysically interested for the post-gravital art. They are calling it like that. What we see here is a performance in zero-g gravity airplane. They took several sessions. There were three times in the air. This one, which you're seeing, the Kapelica Gallery co-produced, and I was also there. And it was really something special for me, not only this zero-g gravitation simulation, but also the whole venue around, which is enabling it. It was done in Star City in Moscow. It is just on the border of the Moscow city. There is Yuri Gagarin Air Flight Airport. There are all the facilities where the astronauts are doing their trainings, not only Russians, not Russian cosmonauts, but also American astronauts. And it was really interesting meeting the people there. It was the first time, although the time Slovenian and supposed to be a part of Slavic ethnic group, it was the first time that I encounter something called Slavic soul. And it was demonstrated by, in several occasions, by the officials there running this Star City, like generals and mayors and so on, because they were so completely fascinating with what we were doing, and they found this common interest and common love to the metaphysics of space, that after that project, they invited us. They were present in this airplane, and 1 hour after, they invited just Marko Pelhan, who was producing the flight, Dragan Živodino, who is actually the director of the content, and I was like a second producer there. They invited us in one office, very small office, Russian setup with almost nothing inside. But they were expecting us, they were waiting for us in their uniforms, you know, with the hats, with all the medals and everything, and they did a speech. And there is a certain culture of doing long, emotional speeches, and we were all crying there, and it was really a bizarre situation, because we were only five adult men there crying like children, you know, and drinking vodka, of course. But after that, they said, we know that that we have to be culturalized. So we are entering the door of the to the artist to enter our venues. And while Dragan Živodino is doing a 50-year, so-called 50-year project, where each 10 years he's repeating an initial theatrical show done in 1995. He did next repetition in another facility in Star City, which is this mythical pool where one part of the International Space Station is submerged, and where the cosmonauts and astronauts are doing their trainings before they leave to the real International Space Station. This is an imagine from the show, from the performance, and of course is the second of fifth of the third, which still needs to arise. It's already here, you can imagine where it will be the last. However, it's already written in the theatrical script that the last one will take place in 2045, where Dragan Živadino will fly into the orbit and install the small so-called umbots, which are small, not robots, because robot is coming from the word rabota, which means working. These bots will not work anything, they will think. So they are umbots, which means mind in Slovenian. And these umbots will replace the artists which were initially playing in the theatrical piece. So in each repetition, in these five repetitions, the artists who will die or who will not be able to participate will be substituted with these umbots. However, now they are in serious preparation with two agencies. One is the official Russian space agency. The another one is the first Russian private space agency to do a theater show in 2012 when Maribor, which is second biggest city in Slovenia, will become a cultural capital of Europe. And of course, these cultural capitals are really strange institutions, but there is money, and this is what helps sometimes also to the artist. And well, now they are preparing the show in there. I will finish now with my presentation, with a short explanation of curatorial concept, which I called it a 3C concept. It's when we are speaking about the contemporary investigative arts, what we are doing in our gallery means that we are interested for a contemporary topics. So now what is contemporary? It's changing, but it's easy when you decide. The another level is when we decide what is the topic we would like to deal with, we need to use the tools for express or for deal with the topics which are arising and which are familiar to the environment where the theme came from. So it's impossible having in mind a problem from the biotechnological field and having an artwork which is merely using the imagery from the biotech, you know. So the artist had to know what they are doing, how they are doing, what they are dealing with, and so on. They need to learn. If they want to work in the field, they need to learn from scientists, from technologists, from philosophers, if you want, and so on. And the third level, which is very important, is a contemporary way of presentation. Forget about white cube. There is no such a thing. If there is a theme coming from, well, I'm using it as a case, from a biotech environment, the best possible venue to perform the artwork would be in the laboratory. And this is what we're doing sometimes. You know, if we cannot recreate the laboratory conditions inside the gallery, we bring everything there and we try to bring the institution of art over there. So that would be very briefly of what we are doing, what we did in 15 years, and just a small amount of what we are dealing it in our everyday practice. But I hope you get the idea of what we managed to develop since we first time encounter the conditions which change profoundly, and the immersion into a science and technology that we are experiencing nowadays. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Yuri.